thank everybody for accommodating on the time, but it just means that our time this evening is less than it usually is. So we'll do the best we can with the hour that we have, and the Mitzvah Hashem will make it up to you as we go along. We are up to Perek Chet Pasuk Yud Dalid, 8:14. But that's not where we're up to.
I mean, I heard the page.
Oh, no. Page 8:14. The problem with the advantage of everybody bringing their own Tanakhs is that I don't have to worry about making sure we have enough Tanakhs in the shul. The disadvantage is that I can't announce pages. So pages are on your own. So. Perek Chet Pasuk Yud Dalet. Yesh Hevel Asher Nasa Al Haaretz. There is hevel upon this earth. That phrase is familiar to us, correct? There is hevel, there is vanity that is done on this earth. Asher nasa la'aretz. That phrase is familiar to us. How many times have we had it? Give or take? Approximate? Throw out a number. Let's throw out a guess. How many times?
Five.
Anybody want to throw out another number? How many times have we had this phrase? Yesh hevel asher nasa la'aretz. 20. We're auctioning it off. I have five. I have 20. Do I hear 30? Do I hear 30? You're going in the wrong direction. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We haven't had it at all. We've had a lot of hevel. We've had a lot of hevel in Kohelet, in more ways than one. We've had a lot of hevel tachat hashamayim, a lot of hevel under the sky, under the heavens, a lot of hevel me'al hashamayim. Well, we hadn't had me'al hashamayim. We've had tachat hashamayim. We've had hevel havalim. We've had akol havel. Gamze hevel. We have never yet had hevel asher na'asa al ha'aretz. We have never yet had this expression of hevel upon the earth. Is there a significance between hevel hana'asa al ha'aretz and hevel tachat? Is there a difference between hevel al ha'aretz and hevel tachat ha'shamayim? Maybe not. But new phrase, new idea, something's different. So let's see what's different. Yesh hevel na'asa la'aretz. Asher yesh tzadikim asher magia lehem kemaseh harishayim. There are righteous who end up with the deeds of the wicked, meaning the fate of the wicked. And there are the wicked who end up with the fate of the righteous. We are familiar with this problem. We even have very fancy terms for it. We call it Tzadik V'Ralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. Correct? We call it Tzadik v'ra'lo, rasha v'tov lo. Plug the phrases in. Yesh rishaim. Ish tzadikim asher magia alehem kemaseh harishaim. There are righteous for whom their fate is that of the wicked. We call that tzadik v'ra'lo. V'yesh rishaim asher magia alehem kemaseh tzadikim. And there are wicked who meet the fate of the righteous. We call that Rasha V'tovlo. We have an even fancier term for this in English philosophy. It's called, or theology, it's called? Theosophy, theodicy. Theodicy. Why bad things happen to good people. Why bad things happen to good people. I'm not, why? It's really why good things happen to bad people. I never seem to ask that question. Right, we always ask the question why bad things happen to good people. I'm not sure we ever stop to think about asking the question why good things happen to bad people. But in Kohelet, the two halves of this equation are interconnected. Yesh tzaddikim shemagi alehem kemaseh harishayim, v'yesh rishayim shemagi alehem kemaseh ha-tzaddikim. Amarti shegam ze hava. That certainly is vanity. Vishibachti ani et hasimcha. Asher ein tov la'adam tachat ha-shemesh ki im le'achol v'lishtot v'lismoach. I praised joy. For there is nothing better for man to do under the heavens than to eat, drink, and be merry. Nu. Who's talking? We only have four possibilities. Chacham? Let's do this again. Is it the Chacham?
No.
Is it the Amal?
No.
Is it the Yirei Elokim?
No.
So who's left?
No.
Okay. So we have identified our speaker, our Nehenah. V'hu yilvenu ba'amalo yimei chayav shenatan lo Elokim tachat ha-shamesh. This joy, this eating, this drinking, this being merry will be the substance of his toil all the days of the life that God has given him under the sun. Kasher netati et libi ladat chokhma velirot et hanyan shenasa la'aretz. I made it my business to understand the world, to understand wisdom, to see all that has happened on the earth. Second time that phrase appears, nasa la'aretz. Ki gam bayom uvalayla shena be'inav enen ru'eh. By day and by night, never do his eyes see slumber or good, relaxing, what do you call it, a good night's sleep? A relaxing night's sleep? Can't get a relaxing night's sleep. V'ra'iti et kol ma'aseh ha'elokim ki lo yuchal ha'adam limtzo ot ha'aseh shenaseh tachat ha'shamash. I looked at all the deeds on the earth, or the deeds, Maaseh Elokim, or the deeds of God, because man cannot know the deeds of God. Ki lo yuchal ha'adam limtzo ot ha'maaseh asher nasa tachat ha'shemesh, v'shel asher hu yamol ha'adam levakesh v'lo yimtza. Man can toil to search for that answer all his life, but he will not find it. Even if the wise man seeks wisdom, seeks to understand the deeds of God, the Maaseh Elokim, he will not find it. Unfathomable, unfindable, undiscoverable, unimaginable. Therefore, eat, drink, and be merry. Achol v'lishtot v'lismach. Get kol ze netati alibi lavur v'lavur et kol ze. All of this I sought to understand, comprehend this. Asher hatzadikim v'achachamim v'avadehem b'yad elokim. The righteous, the wise, and their servants are all in the hands of God. Gam ahava gam sin'ah. Both love and hatred. En yodeh ha'adam ha'kol lifnehem. Man cannot know, it is all before them. Ha'kol kasher lakol. That's an interesting phrase. Ha'kol kasher lakol. Which means?
Everything happens to everyone.
Kol kasher lakol. Everything happens to everyone. Mikre echad, la tzadik, vela rasha, la tov, vela tahor, vela tamei, vela zoveach, vela asher enenu zoveach. One destiny for all. The righteous, the wicked, the good, the pure, the impure, the one who brings sacrifices, the one who does not bring sacrifices, they all end up with the same fate. Namely, death. Katov kachote, the good and the sinner. Hanishba kasher shvua yare, the one who takes an oath, the one who fears the oath, all end up in the same place. Ze ra b'chol asher na'asa tachat hashamash. This is bad. Ki mikre echad lakol. That there should be one end for everybody. גם לב בני האדם מלא רע והוללות בלבבם בחייהם. Man's heart is filled with evil and folly. ואחריו על המתים. ובלבבם בחייהם ואחריו על המתים. Folly in their hearts, in their lives, and after them to the dead. כי מי אשר יחובר על החיים, יש ביטחון. The one who is linked to life has bitachon, insurance. No? Bitachon insurance? Bitur is security. One who is alive has security. Ki lekelev chai hu tov min ha'aye hamet. For the dead, for the live dog is better than the dead lion. For the living know that they will die. But the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for their memory is gone. Gam ahavatam, gam sinatam, gam kinatam, kvavada. The dead, their love, their hatred, their jealousy, it's all gone. V'chelek en lahem od le'olam, v'chol asher na'asa tachat hashamash. There is no more portion for them at all in everything that happens under the sun.
It almost sounds sacrilegious.
There's a lot of sacrilegious in Kalalat. Totally, we've discussed that. A lot of heresy in Kohel. Lech echol b'simcha lachmecha. Go and eat your bread with joy. Who's speaking? We're still with our nehene. Ushtei b'lev tov yenecha. Go drink your wine with a good heart. Enjoy it. Ki kvar atzah elokim et ma'asecha. God has desired your deeds, whatever that means. Becholet you begadecha levanim. Let your clothes always be white. Why? No, that's the midrashic interpretation of you becholet you begadecha levanim. That's not the pshat. What's the pshat? Why should your clothes be white? Veshemen al loshcha al yachsar, nor let oil, do not let oil be lacking from your head. What is that a reference to?
Declining.
No. Nothing so spiritual or religious. Who's talking here? Don't get philosophical and religious on me here. Who's talking? Excuse me? Anoint with your head with oil and let your clothes be white. What's he describing?
A toga party.
Thank you very much. Do you think I'm being facetious? He's describing a party. He's describing living it up. Eat, drink, wear white clothes, keep the oil flowing. Go and seek that woman who you love. All the days of your futile youth. All the futile days of your youth. That's your portion in life. That's what you get in life. So go enjoy it. And here we reach what I believe to be the crescendo of the heresy of Kohelet. Kol asher timsa yadcha la'asot b'kochacha aseh. Anything that is in your power to do, go for it. Why? Ki ein ma'aseh v'cheshbon v'da'at v'chochma b'sheol asher ata holech shama. Because there is no accounting, there is no deeds, there is no knowledge, there is no wisdom, there is nothing in the grave to which you go. Have we had enough? Have we had enough?
The process gets worse.
It doesn't get worse, it gets more complicated. This is the worst it gets. So we're okay. But it gets more complicated from here to the end of the parak. Shafti vera'otach at ha-shemesh ki lo la-kalim ha-merotz v'lo la-giborim ha-milchama. The fast do not win the race. The strong do not win the war. V'gam lo la-chachamim lechem. The wise do not earn their bread. V'gam lo la-nivonim osher. And the smart do not always make the wealth. V'gam lo la-yodim chen. And the knowledgeable do not always have that characteristic of favor. Ki et vafega yikret kula. They all die. There is a time and an end to everything. Ki gam lo yadea ha'adam et ito. Man does not know his time. Notice the twice the use of the word et in these two verses. Man does not know his time. Kadagim shenechazim b'mitzodah ra'ah v'chatziporim ha'achuzot v'pach, like fish caught in a fisherman's net, or the birds caught in a trap. Kehem yukashim b'nei ha'adam le'et ra'ah k'shetipol alehem pitom. So too man falls into an evil trap when death comes upon him suddenly. Gam zo ra'iti chochmat tachat ha'shamesh g'dolai alai. I saw this great little vignette of wisdom. Ir ktana v'anishim b'ma'at. He had a big city, sorry, a little city, with a handful of people in it. Uba elah melech gadol, and a great king came against this city, savavota, surrounded it, bana elah metzodim gdolim, besieged it, matza ba'ish misken chacham, and in that city there was a wise but poor man. Umilatu et ha'ir b'chochmato, and in his wisdom, he was able to save the city. And nobody remembers that poor man because he was poor. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But chokhmat hamisken bzuya. That the wisdom of the poor man is despised and his words are never listened to. The next verse talks about divrei chachamim benachat nishmaim, how the words of the wise are listened to, so I'm going to assume that at that point the chacham enters back into the dialogue and we're going to stop here. Clearly not the perspective of the Arei Elokim. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. If you think back to our very first class, one of the things I suggested to you in our very first year was that there is real heresy in Kohelet. Real substantive, fundamental heresy in Kohelet. The Chazal addressed the heresy and the contradictions from the perspective of assuming it's all under one umbrella, trying to contextualize each verse in some way of by reinterpretation. What we have suggested is that each one of these contradictions are a different speaker and therefore a different perspective, only one of which need be loyal to an authentic message of Jewish tradition, the Arei Elokim. The other three are free to explore whatever views Shlomo Melech wants to explore. And here, assuming we're dealing with a Nehenah, which I think is self-evident, he's exploring a view that I think clearly we would have trouble bringing into consonance with a traditional view of the world and certainly of the relationship between God and the world. Having said that, let's try to understand exactly what he is saying and what has he introduced into the story that is new or different. So let's go back to the beginning. Perek Chet Pasuk Yidal. Yesh hevel asher nasa la'aretz asher yesh tzadikim asher magia lahem kimaseh rishaim v'yesh rishaim asher magia lahem kimaseh tzadikim amarti shegam ze hava. Righteous get the fate of the wicked get the fate of the righteous, and I said this is vanity. To whom is he addressing, and what is the issue here? Whom is he addressing? Whom is he addressing? Say it louder, I can't hear. There's only three possibilities, one of which we've written out of the script. So you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right, and since I think he's addressing both of them, you got a 100% chance of getting it right. So who is he addressing? The Yirei Elokim and the Chacham. Told you to get it right. Because he's addressing the debate that has just taken place in the previous verses. Remember that the Yirei Elokim and the Chacham ended with a debate back and forth over what issue? What did the debate between the Chacham and the Rasha center around? Yes, tangentially, but more profound, more directly. The last couple of verses of chapter that we read last week. What did the debate revolve around? It revolved around the question of Gemul, of Tzadik Varela, of the righteous who suffer, or the wicked who prosper more correctly. And the debate revolved around the question of whether or not the wicked are punished for their deeds in a timely fashion in order to be a deterrent against evil, other evildoers. Asher chote aser ra ma'atu ma'richlo. The wicked, they get away with their wickedness a hundredfold, and God gives them Erech HaPayim, slow to anger even to the Rishayim, says God to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so now here I have slow to anger to the Rishayim. In the meantime, the Rishayim are living it up. And we have a problem in the world. And the Yirei Elokim says, no, that's not happening. There is retribution, there is reward and punishment, there is mishpat. It's not necessarily in this world, it's in the next world, but don't worry, there'll be, right? There's a level playing field. We had a whole discussion about Mishpat in this world versus Mishpat in the next world, the Yirei Elokim's combination, two-tiered system. And that's how the verses end. Tov lo yeh l'rasha, says the Yirei Elokim, it won't be good for the wicked. Lo yarich chamim katzel. Comes along the Nehenah. And the Nehenah throws a monkey wrench into the whole issue. Because the vikuach, the debate between the Chacham and the Yirei Elokim, revolved around a philosophical argument. Which the Chacham, when he addressed the issue of the Yirei Elokim, did he deny the existence of Mishpat after 120? No. He argued that it was essentially ineffectual.
If man's not punished quickly enough, it doesn't serve as a deterrent. So this mishpat doesn't do anything for us. It's a philosophical argument over the benefit of the system as presented by the Yirei Elokim versus the benefit of the system as presented by the Chacham. What the Nehenah has done is the Nehenah has introduced a new equation, or a new variable into the equation. The debate is no longer a philosophical one. The debate is now a how to describe it? It's not even theological. It's heretical. In other words, the position of the Chacham was not heresy. They could argue with the Yirei Elokim. They could argue the fine points of whether there is retribution or isn't retribution. But it didn't degenerate into a denial of fundamentals. The Ne'eneh has thrown a monkey wrench into the discussion. Why? What does the Chacham introduce? What does the Ne'eneh introduce that the Yirei Elokim and the Chacham did not? Yesh tzaddikim shemagia lehem kimaaseh rishaim, v'yesh rishaim shemagia lehem kimaaseh tzaddikim. Have both the Yirei Elokim and the Chacham addressed these issues in the previous verses? Yes, it would seem, correct? It would seem that they both addressed those issues, correct? Except for one subtlety. These two concepts, Tzadik v'ra'ala, Rasha v'tova, the righteous who suffer, the wicked who prosper, are they the same issue? Do they reflect the same issue? We're used to lumping them together. We're used to thinking of them. We even put them together in the same phrase. Tzadik v'ra'ala, Rasha v'tova. We throw them out as two sides of the same coin. And certainly the Ne'eneh has thrown them out as two sides of the same coin. Yesh tzadikim ha shemegiyah lehen kemaseh reshaim, yesh reshaim shemegiyah lehen kemaseh tzadikim, gam zahav. Are they the same issue? Philosophically, are they the same issue?
It seems like they're the same because they express an inconsistency if there's an objective Hashem in the world, so good people get good, bad people get bad. That's what it would seem like.
It would reflect an inconsistency. I think that if both Tzadik v'ra'ala and Rasha v'tovlo are going on, I think that that reflects an inconsistency. Agreed. Now, tell me what the Chacham was bothered by.
That it takes too long for the final decision and judgment. On
for whom? For whom?
For the Rasha.
For the Rasha. Asher ein maaseh pitgam maaseh hara'a mehera al kein lev b'nei ha'adam la'asot ra. Why wasn't the Chacham bothered by Tzadik v'ra'ala?
He's looking for justice and it's getting delayed.
Looking for justice and it's getting delayed. So for the righteous who's suffering, doesn't bother him.
No, but he's still acting justly. He's acting righteously.
Right. So it doesn't bother him.
Right.
Well, Chacham never speaks about Tzadik v'Ra'ala. It's not his issue. His issue is Rasha v'Tovlo. I'll give you another example. Turn to Yirmiyahu Perek Yudbet. Yirmiyahu chapter 12. One of the most famous examples of the Nevi'im themselves struggling with the question of theodicy. The philosophers like to refer to these verses. From the beginning of the chapter. Says Yirmiyahu, Tzadik ata Hashem, ki ariv elecha. God, you are righteous. Ki ariv elecha.
The word ki here can be mistranslated, so be careful. Ki ariv elecha? It's not therefore. It's not if. It's but afki or nevertheless. English translation most accurately would be nevertheless. Tzadikata Hashem, you are righteous, God, but ki ariv elecha, yet I will strive with thee. I will fight with thee. Ach mishpatim adaber otach, I will speak harsh words to you, God. Madua derech rishaim tzalecha shalu kol bogde baget. Why is it that the way of the wicked prospers, that the rebellious have peace and tranquility? Nita'atam gam sharasha, you plant them, they take root. Yelechu gam asuferi, they go and they will bring forth fruit. Not just roots. Karovata b'fiyim v'dechok mikil yoteim, you are close to their mouths. They speak of you as if, you see, you're on their side, but you're not in their kishkas. God, destroy them. Wipe them out like sheep to the slaughter. Separate them for the day of killing. I don't know who Yirmiyahu is talking about, but whoever it is not happy. I do know who he's talking about, but that's not for now. Right? Talking about the Bavliim. What is the issue? What's bothering him? What is so profoundly disturbing to Yirmiyahu that he's prepared to fight with God? And what is it?
They have people prosper and they perhaps hurt good people.
Which one of these two?
Rasha
Vatov. He hasn't said a word about Tzadik V'Ra'lo. He's only spoken about Rasha V'Tov. Give you another example. Yonah. Yonah runs away from God. Yonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Yonah doesn't want God to forgive the people of Nineveh. Finally, Yonah gets to Nineveh and God says, I will forgive these people. They do some superficial magic wand verse type of tshuva, and God forgives them. And Yonah turns to God in anger, and he says, "Al kain kidamti livroach Tarshisha." That's why I ran away to Tarshish. Kiyadati kiyata kel chanun v'rachum erachapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al ra'ah. Because I knew, God, that you were kind and compassionate and slow to anger, and abundant in mercy, and would relent over the evil. What's bothering Yonah? Rasha V'Tovlo. City full of Rishayim called Nineveh, and they're forgiven. Rasha V'Tovlo. Anybody can tell me an example of a Navi bothered by Tzadik V'Ra'lo? Avram by Sdom. Excellent. Before I get to Avram and Sdom, there is one sefer in Tanakh totally dedicated to the subject of Tzadik V'Ra'lo.
Iyov.
But in Iyov, there's no discussion about Rasha V'Tovlo. The discussion in Iyov is about Tzadik V'Ra'lo. And by the way, so here I have Iyov, here I have Yirmiyahu, I have Yonah. I'll throw Moshe Rabbeinu into that mix for now. I'll show you the psukim in a moment. By the way, in the Nevi'im, which of these two is the more common challenge to the Nevi'im? Which of these two do most of the Nevi'im talk about and are bothered by? Are they bothered by the preponderance of righteous who suffer, or the preponderance of wicked who prosper?
The wicked who prosper.
The majority of the Nevi'im spent their focus on the issue here. There are very few places in Nach where the Nevi'im are bothered by the issue of Tzadik v'Rama. There's half a phrase in Habakkuk which may be, when he talks about the Risha'im Bolei Tzadik Mimenu, where he talks about the Rasha who swallows the one who is more righteous than he, maybe. There's Eov, and there's Avraham. What's the story with Avraham? What does Avraham say?
Don't just
do it. Right. Does Avraham want the city of Sodom to be spared because he does not want the wicked people of Sodom to be destroyed? That's not what he says. He may, but he doesn't say it that way. What does he say? Ha'af tispe tzadik kirasha v'haya katzadik karasha. Chalila lacha shofet kol aretz lo yase mishpat. אולי יש 50 צדיקים בתוך העיר, האף תספר ולא תיסע למקום ממן 50 צדיקים. Are you not going to spare the city because of the 50 righteous people in the city? חלילך מעשות כדבר הזה להמית צדיק עם רשע. God forbid that you should destroy the righteous together with the wicked. והיה כצדיק כרשע, that the destiny of the wicked, the righteous should be equal to that of the wicked. חלילך שופט כל הארץ לא יעשה משפט, that's not justice. What would have happened if God would have said, fine, here are your 50 righteous people, take them out of the city, I'm going to destroy everybody else. What would have Avram said? Isn't it? Go for it. If God would have said to him, you're right, there are 50 righteous people, but I'll be happy to spare them, I'll take them out of the city, I'll destroy everybody else. What would Avraham have said? Isn't it? Although I don't know if he would have said, isn't it? I'm not sure he spoke Yiddish, but debatable. Some... But he certainly would have said, go for it. Chalila lecha shafet kol aretz lo yaseh mishpat. The dialogue there surrounds the question of whether there are these 50 righteous people, 10 per city. But ultimately his issue was the destruction of the righteous. That's why Lot is spared. So there's the one of the few examples in Tanakh of the issue of Tzadik v'Rala.
You have Eov, and you have Avraham.
We're not going to get to it today, so I'm going to ask you to remember that in all of Tanakh, we put together Avraham and Eov on one side of the equation, and all of the other Nevi'im on the other. Bezat Hashem, next week I want to talk about the relationship between Avraham and Eov. This is not an accident. And the Chazal draw our attention to the relationship between Eov and Avraham on a number of different levels. But broadly speaking, Tzadik v'Ralo and Rasha v'Tovlo are different issues. Let's talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Chayta Egel, has a whole dialogue with God about forgiveness, whether you should forgive the people, shouldn't forgive the people, all kinds of equations, and that's where he has this great vision of the 13 attributes of mercy, or as we refer to them as 13 attributes of mercy. In fact, I just had this discussion with my students at Block. There aren't really 13 attributes of mercy. There are, in fact, at least 15, if not 16, attributes of combined rachamim and din. We call them 13 attributes of mercy, but that's because we don't read them correctly. Right? We split one of them in half. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'Rav Chesed. All right, so let's go through them. Hashem, first of all, Kel. Kel is Elokim. Is Elokim midav din or rachamim? Din. So it starts with Kel. Right? Kel Rach Hashem Hashem Rachamim Kel Rachum V'Chanun. Rachum V'Chanun is certainly compassion. Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim, slow to anger, compassion. Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed, abundant in kindness. Chesed, What's the next one? Emet. Is emet din or rachamim? Interesting. Din. It can be both, but it's often associated with din. Natzer chesed la'alafim. God who preserves kindness for 1,000 generations. Rachamim. Natzer chesed la'alafim. Nase avon vafesha. Carries the iniquity forward. Now, if you look at the grammar, if you look at the syntax carefully, the next phrase is v'nake lo yinake, which means he carries the iniquity, but he does not wipe the slate clean. Rather, he holds on to the iniquity so that poked avon avot abanim ve'abnei banim ve'al shilashim ve'al ibaim, so that he can visit the iniquity for 4 generations. Mercy or din? Rachamim or din? A little bit of this and a little bit of that, isn't it? We, in order to make all 13 out of rachamim, we stop in the middle. We end at vinake. It cleans the slate. But that's not what the pasuk says. Because we recite them as midot of rachamim, but in fact, they are a combination of midot of rachamim and din. And that's precisely the message that God was giving to Moshe at that moment. Namely, that God has midot of rachamim, and God has midot of din. The key is understanding what? The key is to understand... Say it louder.
When each one comes in.
When do you apply din and when do you apply rachamim? That was Moshe's question. Hareini na et. Moshe asked 2 questions. Question number 1. Hodieni na et drachecha. Show me your derech. Your derech, your ways, your attributes, how you relate to the world. Question number 2. Hareini na et kvodecha. Show me your honor, your glory, your essence. God answered, I will show you my back. Ra'ita et achorai. Ufanai lo yirao, but you won't see my face. Did God say yes or no to his 2 questions? Careful. Did God say yes or no to Moshe's 2 questions?
The top again.
Show me your derech, your ways, your attributes.
Okay.
No, yes or no?
Sure
yes.
He said yes to one and no to the other. I will show you my back, my impact, my footprint, how I relate to the world, my drachim, my methodologies, my midot. But to understand them, you have to understand one key part of the puzzle, which is, when do you apply din, and when do you apply rachamim? To which God adds, v'chanoti et asher achon, v'richamti et asher arachem, which means, I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion, and I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. It's the most circular statement you'll find in all of Tanakh. Because what was God saying to Moshe? I can show you the midot. You can recognize din and you can recognize rachamim. But to understand when rachamim applies and when din applies is to understand God. And that you can't do. There's a limit to what the human mind can comprehend. There's a powerful... Let me just share with you this midrashic source. If you don't mind, just take one and pass them back. Actually, that's an extra one. Anybody wants? Anybody else? You get? Yeah. There's a very powerful midrashic source that describes Moshe's dilemma. When Moshe went up to Shemayim, when he was dealing with, when he was in the cleft of the rock, when he was struggling with this issue of understanding the ways of God. In source number 2, second line, Titania. Kishalam Moshe l'marom. When Moshe went up to Shemayim, when he up to the heavens, Matzor Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyoshev v'kotev erech apayim, he saw God writing the expression erech apayim, slow to anger. What does slow to anger mean? Takes a lot to get him going. Tolerant. Tolerant of what? Tolerant of?
Behavior.
What kind of behavior?
Simple.
Missteps. I don't need to be tolerant of good steps. Right? I don't need to be tolerant of good things. I need to be tolerant of bad things. Correct? So Moshe Rabbeinu found the Rabbanu Shlom sitting and writing the 13 attributes, and he saw him write the Midah of Erech Apayim. Amar lefanav, said Moshe Rabbeinu to the Rabbanu Shlom, Ribono Shel Olam, Erech Apayim letzadikim. Don't you mean slow to anger for the righteous? Is that not a Midah reserved only for the righteous? To which God answered him and said, Amar lo aflu Rishayim. You know what? Erech Apayim goes even for Rishayim. To which Moshe answered and said, Rishayim yovedu, let the wicked be destroyed. After all, says Kohelet, Asher ein na'asa pitgam hara'a mehera al ken lev hadam lasot ra, because man, evil is not punished, therefore man does evil. The wicked should be destroyed. Amalei, says the Rabbanu Shalom back to Moshe, hashtachazit matabayelach. You only see what you want to see, or what you need to see. Kishechatu Yisrael, a year and a half later, when Israel sinned at the sin of the Meraglim, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Kishechatu Yisrael amar lo lo kach amarta li erech apayim letzadikim. God wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and Moshe said, "But wait a second, what about erech apayim?" And God said to him, "Hey, Moshe, you told me erech apayim was reserved only for the righteous." So Moshe said, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam lo kach amarta li afrish lirishayim. But God, didn't you tell me that Erech HaPayim was also for the wicked? And that's why the Pasuk says, Moshe says to God, Yigdal nakoch Hashem kasher dibarta. Let God's greatness be in accordance with how he spoke. Kasher dibarta velo kasher dibarti. Yes, you spoke and not as I spoke. Okay, cute little dialogue. That's not the issue. The issue is what's bothering Moshe. Conceptually, what challenge, what philosophical challenge is Moshe disturbed by? Erech apayim l'rishayim. Tell me something. What does erech apayim to rishayim look like? Remember that the concept of the midot is that I can recognize what they look like. I can recognize when God is applying the principle of one characteristic over another. What I don't understand is the rules. So tell me, what does erech apayim to rishayim look like? Does it not look like Rashi v'Tavla? Mm-hmm. Is this not Erech HaPayim L'Rishayim? Rashi v'Tavla? Mm-hmm.
From the
net. Have we all seen it? Do we know what it looks like? Could we recognize Rashi v'Tavla? We call it Rashi v'Tavla. Chazal called it Erech HaPayim to Rishayim. But it's the same thing. Just a fancier term for it, and a much more palatable term. Rashi v'Tavlo sounds like a critical term. When we say Rashi v'Tavlo, what are we saying? We're saying why good things, bad things happen to good people, or good things happen to bad people. We're saying we are expressing a notion of critique, right? Chazal took the same concept, and they understood it in terms of the attributes of God, compassion or not, notwithstanding, right? We could be looking at the other way around. If this is Erech HaPayim L'Rishayim, if this is the midah of Erech HaPayim, then when the Nevi'im are complaining about it, when Yirmiyahu is complaining, when Moshe is complaining, when Yonah is complaining, what are they complaining about? Put it into terms of the Gemara, they're complaining about the abundance of too much rachamim in the world.
When Ahab declares a drought in the world, when Eliyahu HaNavi declares a drought in the world because Ahab is worshipping idols to Baal and nobody's stopping him, he's complaining about too much rachamim, erech apayim in the world. He wants din. Judgment, justice, because justice will deter evil. Too much rachamim, be too lenient and too kind, and you end up with the motivation.
Spare the rod and spoil the child.
Spare the rod and spoil the child. Which is a Pasuk in Mishnah, by the way. What's the Tzadik Varala? When Eel complained about Tzadik Varala, what was he complaining about? Was he complaining that there was no God in control of the world? Eov is a very religious text. From beginning to end, he's complaining to God. He's not denying God. What's he complaining about? Too much? No. Eov. Too much? Din. Tzadik Viralo is a function of an overabundance of din. Rosh Hashanah is a function of an overabundance of rachamim. They are two very different issues. And the Nevi'im never entertained the possibility that what's going on in the world is anarchy. The Nevi'im would have never articulated such a notion that there's anarchy in the world. The Nevi'im understood that there is always order. God is always in control. God in control can mean exercising the midah of din, exercising the midah of rachamim. God in control can mean God exercising the attribute of erech apayim to rishayim. God in control can exercise the midah of din. But God is always in control. When Yirmiyahu turns to God and he says, I will fight with you, he begins with the expression, tzadik atah Hashem. You are righteous. There's no Havamina, there's never an entertained thought for a moment that what's operating in this world is anarchy. It's either din or it's rachamim. It's one or the other. It's an orderly system. It just, I don't necessarily understand the rules. But there's an orderly system. Comes along Kohelet. And the Nehenev Kohelet, and he throws a monkey wrench into our orderly system. What does he say? Yesh tzadikim asher magi alehem kemaseh harasha'im. V'yesh rasha'im asher magi alehem kemaseh tzadikim. Mikre chad lakol, lakol, kakol, kasher lakol. Everybody gets the same result in the end. Everybody gets the same fate. There are righteous who are getting the fate of the wicked. There are wicked who are getting the fate of the righteous. What do I see in the world, says the Nehenev? Total and complete anarchy. Leit din v'leit dayan. There is no order and there is no judge. There is no God. There is no divine retribution. There is no grave. There is no life beyond the grave. There is no reward and punishment. It is a complete and total denial of everything we believe as far as the immortality of the soul, the spirit, the existence of God. It's finished. It's over. Because to the Nehenev, there is no order. It's not tzadik v'ralo, too much din in the world, rush of a tovlo, too much rachamim in the world. It is kimikre echad lakol. It's a balagan. It's total and complete anarchy. That's a position the Nehenev has introduced to Kohelet that has not been put on the table to date. And it leads him to the most far-reaching statements of heresy we have seen to date. And it starts from missing this beat, this distinction. Because even the challenges of Tzadik V'Ralo Rosh V'Tovlo assume God is in control. The moment I bridge the two, I end up with the question as philosophers pose it, the theodicy, the righteous who suffer, the wicked who prosper, the whole system in question which the Nevi'im never assumed. They challenged God, they questioned God. Eov challenges God and questions God. Eov never assumes that there is no God and that there is no system. That kind of heresy is reserved for the Nehene of God. You have a question?
Everybody
gets what they should be getting. So how can there be too much din? I mean, the tzaddik
shouldn't be having bad things happen to him.
Yes and no. Yes and no. First of all, there is a notion of, in Chazal's frame of mind, remember that tzaddik v'ra'alu is a term that Chazal used. The Nevi'im never spoke in those language, in that language. But in the language of Chazal, Tzadik V'Ra'lo is an example where God is medaktik b'tzadikim k'chut asara, to put it in as an example of Tzadik V'Ra'lo being an example of din, where God takes it out on the tzadikim for the tiniest little nothings of transgressions because they're tzadikim.
No, that's not perfect.
Right? That's an overabundance of din. Where's the compassion? Where's the patience? Where is the kind of erech apayim and patience I give to an achav, but I don't give to an eo. That's why it's a challenge. Any questions? Okay.
Is this distinction that you're making tonight relate to the opening sentence, Asher na'ase al ha'aretz?
Oh, so that's what... Right, that's why I said that this even the expression Hevel has changed in Kohelet. This chapter has introduced a level of Hevel that we haven't seen. I'm not sure that it's connected, but it's just an interesting observation. That Hevel al-Anasa al-Aretz is a new phrase. And here he's reached a crescendo of heresy that we haven't seen. All right, I will leave you with one thought, and that is the next two verses, pasuk tetzvav and pasuk tetzayin, or tetzvav through yudzayin. In pasuk tetzvav, he comes to his conclusion. Therefore, the only conclusion he can come to, which is to eat, drink, and be merry. Achol v'shato, lachol v'lishtot v'lismach. There's nothing more in this world. There's no greater reality than that. In Pasuk Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin, 16 and 17, he addresses his two friends, the Chacham and the Amal. But the key phrase in this I want to draw your attention to, which we'll pick up next week, is Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vere'iti et kol ma'aseh ha'elokim, I addressed, or I looked at, all of the deeds of God, ki lo yuchal ha'adam limtso et ha'ma'aseh, for man cannot comprehend the deeds that are done under the heaven. Qohelet introduces the notion here that if you want to try to understand the deeds of God is an impossible and incomprehensible task. Not that we don't know the picture or that we don't know the answer, but that the answer is unknowable, like Eisenberg's uncertainty principle. It's not knowable. That's the issue, that's the assumption I want to challenge and discuss next week. I think it deserves a shiur unto itself. The question of the quote-unquote the right, the ability to question God, to challenge God. Essentially, Qohelet points to that issue. I want to address it head-on. I think it's deserving of a subject analysis unto itself. Bezat Hashem, next week we will look at that and then be able to move on to the rest of the parak.